Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Chase William D. Mace, 1 o'clock hour here on a Thursday, 1025-1063 The Game. Usually we chat with him on Fridays at 1, but with the Preds scheduled tomorrow, things are a little different. So we say hello to TSU head football coach and Titans legend Eddie George. EG, how you doing?
I am doing great, man. How y'all doing today?
We're doing fantastic. Doing good to see you on Monday for the Eddie George show. And I know you've had a little time to think about things and the game against Lane. I mean, Derek, I was there. It was a fun atmosphere at Hale Stadium, as it was the John Merritt Classic. But, you know, there's no other way to put it, Eddie. It was a heartbreaker. That's what it was. Your guys fought. They competed. Saw a lot of compete down the stretch, staying in that game. You get it to overtime, get it to that point. You score, and then they score, go for two, ultimately win the game. It was a little bit of a crazy ending. But how do you take – a situation like that where you're in it, you're fighting, you're competing, and use that as a learning moment, even though you didn't win the game?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you always find those learning moments and losses. And, you know, I've been saying this for the last 4 weeks, is that we're getting closer to who we want to be. One week it was the offense that carried us. The next week it was the defense. The next week against MTSU, we got our behinds kicked, and there was nobody, and we kind of learned about us and who they were. Last week, we were out with 10 total starters. You know, two of our top receivers are out. Our starting quarterback and running back were out. Both of our safeties. So we had some young guys playing, and our quarterback was our first-time starting quarterback in Shale, and Ed, also Ed. And you know, I told them, I said, listen, we opened up the game on the first offensive play with a fumble scoop score. Then we answered back, we score a touchdown. We were up 10-6 going to halftime and throw a pick six. We were supposed to go into the halftime up, but we instead were behind, come out opening drive, score. And we find a way in situations to put ourselves in position to win. We do a great job in 4 minutes. Get the ball back for our defense. Had two blocks and a block punt. And, you know, going to overtime, we win it. So I say all that to say we had did some really good things. And our offense was pretty much one-dimensional and played with one arm tied behind our back because our quarterback wasn't there. We couldn't really throw the ball effectively. We had to rely on the run. And we outgained them by 131 yards rushing football. We had 200 yards rushing. We had our running back rush for over 100 yards, and that was a combination between our running back and our quarterback running the football. So I say all that to say there were a lot of positives to pull from it. We just didn't come away with the victory at the end. And that time's going to come. Our culture is still being created. The foundation is still being poured. The standard is still being defined and identified. And there's still a lot of self-sabotaging behavior on this football team. That's where we are. And that's what we have to deal with. We have to be men, look at that, address it, own it, deal with it, and grow from that and become a team versus a group of individuals. So those are the whole cold, hard facts, and that's something that I harped on all week long. That's something that we're dealing with. And once we become a team and really push ourselves and hold each other to a higher standard, and become accountable to one another, we'll start to begin to see the fruits of our labor in the wins and loss columns. And that day is coming. We're just going to continue to press forward and persist without exception.
So you just said something that really sparked something with me, and that is, you know, there's still self-sabotaging behavior, you know, on our team. And I know that I look back at how I was at 18, 19 years old. I'm sure for you and Derek, when Derek was at Michigan State, you were at Ohio State, it's very different than it is now for 18, 19, 20-year-olds. How have you adjusted to that of kind of thinking back to your time in college, your early days in the NFL, how you were as a young person, and just realizing that personalities and the generation that we're in now is totally different, so you have to coach it different?
Yes, that's a perfect example. Is that I'm cut from a different cloth than it was years, you know, than this. And these kids nowadays are a little bit more sensitive than most, and that's not a bad thing. It is what it is in terms of they're very sensitive to criticism, to being held to a higher standard, and you've got to be patient and have the grace to show them, you know, to see the situation from a different lens and how it looks and the bigger picture. I mean, they've never been where I've been or our coaching staff has been. So all they see is right now, and it's the panic button on everything. Oh, my God, the sky's going to fall down. You know, it'd be like, no, just we're good. But we got to really look at where we're at and what we've accomplished. We are a better team than we were a year ago. And it hasn't shown yet in the win-loss column, but this is where we're at. So, you know, it's an everyday deal. It has forced me to become more patient and gracious and more of a teacher, but also be willing to lay the big stick when I have to. And that's the thing that I'm learning to do in terms of how to guide this team in the direction that I need them to be in, and to embrace and create a standard of excellence and hold truth to that, you know, instead of, you know, wanting to do their own thing and it shows its ugly head in critical moments in a ball game.
We're talking to TSU's head football coach, Eddie George. They're coming off a heartbreaking loss last week versus Lane College. Now, Coach, you explained all of this and where your team is at and the message you had to or you consistently give to them. But you know, just like any other thing, I can give the message, but if they don't receive it, then, you know, there's always going to be this disconnect. How is your program, the guys on your program, how are they receiving the message, especially after a heartbreaking loss?
Well, hopefully the lesson was learned by that heartbreaking loss. You know, I think we kind of thought that we were better than what we were, but we're not. When you play Jackson State tough, you play Eastern Washington tough, and you have those moral victories, and you look at your schedule and say, hey, you know, we should be taking down the team we should take. But no, that wasn't the case at all. That team came in here on a mission, and they believed they were going to, you know, beat us, and they did. And, you know, it's one of those deals, Derek, where you have to be patient and show them, and hopefully they get the wake-up call that, hey, I do know what I'm talking about. You know, I could tell when a Tuesday practice, like, you know what? We are primed to get our behinds kicked. On Tuesday, I could see that. And guess what? It happened. So instead of feeling a sick feeling, maybe that's something that we needed to experience, let's approach this with a sense of urgency. Let's really take this serious if this is where we want to be. Because one thing I know for sure, I'm identifying who the assets are and who the liabilities are. Mm-hmm. And the assets will stay and will increase and continue to gain value, and the liabilities will be eliminated. And that's how I'm looking at it. You know, either you are on board or you're not. And if I can get more guys that are straddling the fence to come on board, the quicker and better it will be. Mm-hmm. But the more guys fight against it, and fight against each other, fight against the system, we're not efficient in that area energetically. And it takes a team to go out and win those type of ball games, and we're just not solidified right there on that front. So that's a part of the process of developing the program and growing and teaching these young men. That's where we're at.
Now, Coach, we talked about all of the things that needs to be fixed and the concerns that you and the coaching staff have moving forward. But what are some of the good things that are happening with your program? Because, I mean, this was a close game, and you spelled it out to us. You were missing a bunch of guys, but yet and still, the young guys stepped up and they played tough. So
yes.
And yes. Listen, they didn't get the win, but they came in and they played with the sense of urgency of, hey, listen, we got to win this game. So we see all the bad stuff, but what are some of the good things that these guys are doing for the program?
Wow. Well, I'm glad you said that. Jalen Rouse, our running back, had over 100 yards. You know, we had two quarterbacks playing the game, you know, put us in position to win the game or to go into overtime and win the game. Edwin came in, did a great job with his legs and made some key throws for us. Our kicker, Caleb Mosley, was perfect on the day and booted home a 51-yard field goal to send in the overtime with confidence. We had a two-block punch and a block, no, two-block field goal attempts and a block punt on the day to really set us up. Well, special teams-wise, we lead the country and we lead the FCS, or excuse me, we're second in the FCS in block kicks in the country. So we're able to hang our hat on that, and the fact that, you know, we were one-dimensional again and still outrush this team, you know, 220 some odd yards, was something that we could say, okay, our identity is still being formed and being made and solidified. So we just have to stay the course, continue to bleed, continue to work, continue just to put our head down to the grindstone and work through the pain, work through the losses, because what's happening is you're becoming battle-tested. And when we get on the other side and experience victory, you've already experienced the stings of these losses. So now, in the back end of the season, when we're in that position, oh, you know what? We've been here before. No need to panic. We've been here. We know the situation. We know the opponent. We know the plan. Now we have to execute. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We've had that experience. So there's nothing, there's no greater teacher than experience. But you have to learn, again, and grow from it and identify it and be willing to have the courage to meet it head on and make a difference when you have a chance to do that.
Eddie George is with us. Eddie, before we let you go, I want to squeeze this in real quick. Derrick Henry had 99 yards rushing in the first half in the win over the Colts, 114 total. I saw an angry running back in that first half especially. And I've heard you talk about it. I've seen you pissed off in a game and you're just running over dudes. Why is that so important for somebody that plays your position to run angry, as silly as that may sound?
Now you got to run with violence, man. I mean, that's the position. And for Derek, he's going to have to run like that for a while because they're going to load the box. He's going to have to make the first defender pay, break a lot of tackles, and run with a relentless spirit. And I think it's important because he is the focal point of that offense. You saw not just his game or his performance or production in just the run game, but also in the passing game as a receiver. So he's still the focal point of that offense. They go as he goes, and it's a spiritual thing as well. You know, everybody feeds off of that. They see Derek out there fighting for every single yard. Guess what? The defense is going to do the same thing. Special teams picks up. You know, everybody around you, the blocking for the receivers, it picks up. When it's time for the receivers to make a play, they make their play. So everybody feeds off of that energy. So when you're forced to do that as a back, you're the focal point, really the engine for the entire spirit of the team.
Yeah, and we'll see if we can see more of that this week against Washington. Eddie, best of luck against Bethune-Cookman. We'll hear that game on 102.5, the game this week, and we appreciate you doing this as always.
All right, man. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Yep. You too. Eddie George, TSU head football coach, Titans legend as well, usually joins us on Fridays at 1, and we usually do ask D-Mace on Fridays at 12:30, but we're going to do that coming up next. You have to call this week. The text line's still down, having an issue with our service, but 615-737-1025. Call and ask D-Mace a question. You can also tweet us at 1025 the game as well, and we'll have a prize for you that you can potentially win, but you must participate. Ask D-Mace coming up next, 1025-1063 the game.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It is Ask D-Mace time, 615-737-1025. You got a call today. Our text line not working. Or you can tweet at us at 102.5, The Game. But the best questions, and Nick Kieser behind the glass is going to be the man making the decisions. Mm. The best questions on the line. Mm. Three potential winners today. Ooh. We have a couple of pairs of tickets for Smashing Pumpkins on Monday at Bridgestone Arena. And the suit has found a pair of tickets to opening night in Smashville next Thursday, October 13th, baby, against the Dallas Stars. So
who
you must participate. 615-737-1025 in Ask D-Mace.
Who doesn't want to go to, you know, the opening night? Preds. Come on, it's going to be electrifying. Come on now. Preds, Dallas Stars.
It's going to be awesome.
Come on. The suit's going to be there too?
I will.
I'm going to be there?
Come on. I'll be signing autographs.
Absolutely. Suit's going to be signing autographs. Say, hey, listen, y'all need to come out.
Come out, people. I'll sign some autographs, and maybe for some people, be like, hey, you want my phone number? Yeah, here you go.
As long as they don't put you in a friend zone, okay?
Yeah, they will.
Don't worry about it. I've gotten friend zoned too lately.
Yeah,
so it is, Chase.
I got my personal text line, which if you have that, I'm not going to give it to you on the radio, but if you have that, I guess you can text me.
Yeah.
Sturgill says, I want to know what product Derek uses to keep his beard looking so fresh. It does look good.
Shampoo. What is some type of conditioner, and I brush it and comb it, man. And I go to the barbershop every week to get it edged up. So that's the first thing, you know, people ask, well, why do you go to the barbershop? You ain't got no hair. I said, I got facial hair. You know, I got to get it edged up too.
I mean, you know.
And brother got to look good, you know. You know, Chase.
I went the other day.
See? There you go. Good.
You know, got edged up.
Yeah,
that's the big thing.
Gotta get that neck clean, man. Up under here, man.
Yeah,
gotta get the neck clean. You know.
Thank you, Sturgill. Good question.
Appreciate it, Sturgill.
Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler is first up on Ask D-Mace. Tyler, welcome in.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, just a quick question. It seems like as of lately, we're highlighting different types of injuries across the league. I'm wondering, is it something that's always been there? I know it's kind of being pushed as of lately, but, yeah, it seems to me like people that grew up around ball, you get banged up pretty frequently, and I think it's more or less there's more attention on the sidelines now, so we're seeing a lot more of it. I'm just curious is if that's the outlook from inside the locker room.
In regards to
injuries, I guess he's saying, have they always been there, or are we just focused on them more now?
I think they've all – well, I know they've always been there, but now what has happened over the last 15 years, each individual profession, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, hockey, I'm only talking team sports, they've slowly have given people this all access to what's going on. And not that these injuries didn't occur, But now we're just getting an inside, a behind the camera view of, okay, a guy turning his ankle, you know, in a game. Now they're talking about it. As before, if a guy turned an ankle and went on sideline, they really didn't. They were like, oh, he out a couple plays, and then they move back to what's on the field. But now, because I think some of it has to do with betting, I'm sure, but they're giving you more of a behind-the-scenes look at these injuries that are happening, you know, whether it be a high ankle sprain, a broken finger, turf toe, you know, whether, you know, Treylon Burks is dealing with, or, you know, Jonathan Taylor. All of these injuries that were happening before that were sort of behind the scenes, now they are put out on full display for people to see them while the game's going on, because they are reporting them, you know, because there's big money, not just in that's on the field. A lot of guys making a lot of money, but there's big money off the field with betting and everything. So they're giving you this all-access look at what's going on with teams now.
615-737-1025. My pal Jeremy from Blend Bar has incriminating evidence on me that might get him tickets to the game. Anyway, let's go to Tom, 615-737-1025. Tom, welcome in to Ask D-Mace.
Good afternoon. D-Mace, one silly question, one serious one. Mm-hmm. Silly question is, who's washing your car these days? Just saying. building off of your last comment, if you could explain the relationship between all of the players and the head strength and conditioning coach and that coach's staff.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. My man Alan is watching my cars. Alan Mobile, he's watching my cars. He's been watching my cars for, 20-something years, 30, since I've been in the NFL.
Hang on. You have a guy. You have a guy. You have a car wash guy.
Yeah. I can't say don't everybody. I'm so sorry for saying that. That makes me seem sort of elitist, and I'm not that way, Chase. Anybody will tell you. But no, I've been knowing Alan since I was with the Titans, and he does a tremendous job at washing cars. Actually, he was just at my house yesterday washing the cars. Was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? Day before yesterday, I think, Tuesday. He washed the cars. But the relationship between the strength and conditioning coach and the players, it's a critical relationship. It's a relationship that you must have, I think, because it all coincides with, you know, injuries and everything else. How do you condition? Because everybody doesn't work off the same template, you know. And I've said this plenty of times. Like, what works for Chase doesn't work for me, or what works for me doesn't work for Chase. So the strength and conditioning coach, they got to know you as a person, know what you like, know what you need. Steve Watterson was great at it, here with Tennessee, at, you know, whether it be supplements or knowing guys, you know, body and knowing what they need and stretching and things that you need to do preventive, whether it be stretching or a certain type of weightlifting or whatnot. So that relationship between the player and the strength coach and their staff is critical. You must have a good relationship, I believe. At least I believe.
Sure.
Because he knows, if he's been with you long enough and he's paid attention, or if you've, you know, been open with the strength and conditioning coach, they know exactly what you may need at the beginning of the season, in the middle of the season, and toward the end of the season.
615-737-1025. Give us a call. Ask D-Mace. On the line, Smashing Pumpkins, Preds opening night. We have not declared any winners as of yet. We'll do another round of calls coming up next, but load them up. 615-737-1025. That's next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063. The game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards.
And now you can ask him. anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and Dreamers. On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. Nick Kieser, intern Connor behind the glass. 615-737-1025. Now, I did learn that, you know, we named Nick the commissioner of this. He has awarded Predators opening night tickets to Tom for his question. It was Tom, right? Okay. Yes. You can. You have a mic. You can say, yes, it was Tom.
Yes, I know I have a microphone, Chase McCabe.
Chase McCabe. Bow down to the suit.
It's the suit, bow down man. To nothing. It's the suit. Worry. You address him as the suit.
Hey, in the words of Billy Joel, don't take any bleep from anybody.
That's Mike Vrabel.
No, that's don't do dumb bleep to hurt the team.
Yeah.
Same thing.
No.
No, they're actually very different. Shut up, rookie. Anyway, we have awarded the I'm kidding, folks. I'm yes. really not mean.
Yeah, he's not.
615-737-1025. We've awarded the opening night tickets to the Predators, but two pairs of tickets to see Smashing Pumpkins Monday at Bridgestone Arena. Still on the line, but you must participate. Let's go to Chris. Chris on line one. Welcome in to Ask D-Mace.
D-Mace, how's it going today, sir?
Hey, it's going well.
Good, good. Hey, so just with, I want to get your thoughts around, you know, with the injuries that we've seen over the last few weeks and everything so much under the microscope, you know, with the advancement of medicine and technology, all the players are looking for that guaranteed income, that guaranteed contract. Do you think that we could possibly get to a point where we're incentivizing early retirement based off the two factors? There's been talk about Tua, you know, his next steps. Just wanted to get your thoughts about that.
Thank you for the call, Chris. The NFL would never incentivize early retirement. They won't. They don't even, you know, there's not even anything promoting, you know, early retirement or retirement. You retire before this happens or that happens. That's just not what the NFL does. Chris, I think more players, and I think I spoke on this yesterday, Chase, or the day before yesterday, when the Tua thing came up and his, you know, it was swirling. People think he may retire. I think we talked about it yesterday because the sure. doctor was saying, hey, he needs to retire. I think what's happening now, Chris, is that because of the money that is being made by these men now in this sport, they don't have to play as long to earn the money that will take care of them and their kids and their grandkids and whatnot. Nowadays, these men are making, you know, more in 1 year than what some people made in a whole contract, you know. So that's more of the incentive is let me play well early. Why do you think these men are now? They're not. Back in the day, it was, okay, you got to wait until your rookie contract was over before we sign you to a new deal. Not anymore. These young men are figuring out, like, listen, if I put up two really good seasons, I shouldn't have to wait that third or fourth year to get a contract because something might happen. I need to get my money early. So if I do play out a 5 or 6 year deal or let's say a 4 year deal, I'm still young enough that I could retire, but I got enough money to retire and be great for the rest of my life. You know, that's the incentive, you know, that they're paying people more. And you have seen guys retire early, guys that get in their fifth or sixth year or seventh year. And they say, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. I've made enough money. I'm good. I can go do somewhere, go do something else. So I think that's the incentive now. The more money these guys are making, they don't feel they have to play, you know, 15, 20 years. I mean, Tom is just an anomaly. You know, he's different, and that position is different. You know, Tom can play 20 years because of the way they protect quarterbacks now.
They get to the second contract is the one that everybody exactly. wants because that's the guaranteed money.
And that's why they're trying to get to it earlier They're not trying to wait till it that first contract plays out. It's like, give me my money now because I don't know what's going to happen in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, and look, I don't have any problem with that.
Me either.
I mean, if a guy – I mean, and I do wonder if it, in the next CBA, if the players try to, you know, negotiate these entry – you know, these entry-level contracts basically that they're on from their – for a first-round pick – it's a 4-year contract with a 5th-year option. What if it becomes a 3-year contract with a 4? You know, because you look at the NHL, those are all 3 years typically.
Yeah, because these guys are playing earlier now. You know, the 4-year and 5th-year options, you get the 4-year deal and then your 5th-year option. Okay, that's cool, you know, 5 years ago when, you know, 10 years ago when a guy didn't play his first year. But he played his second year, so he had to build up to that. Now, these quarterbacks are playing early. These receivers are playing early. If you're good, they're going to get you on the field as early as possible.
All right, let's go to Tim, who's up now. 615-737-1025. Tim, welcome in.
Hey, all right. Hey, Derek.
Hey, what's going on, Tim?
We talked a couple times. I told you before you coached my kids when you and Blaine were doing y'all's football camp. But there's something I've always wanted to ask you because it broke my heart when you went and when you had to go to Baltimore. But I mean, I know you're a good professional. I just kind of want to hear a player's perspective on how team change is, and that's really all I got.
All right, thank you, Tim.
Good question. Thanks, Tim.
You know, that was a hard moment, professional moment for me. But it was a lesson learned. You know, when you talk about back then when it was like, hey, football is a business. Yes, you as a young player, you're thinking, yeah, but it's like you're going out there and you're giving it everything that you have. And whatever the coaches are asking you to do, you're doing it, you know. You're doing extra to make sure you're doing your job so the team can be better. You're putting in all this work. You're not thinking about the business aspect. You're just thinking about, man, I'm loyal to this team, and I'm sure the team is loyal to me. Well, after 8 years, it hit me. Well, it hit me before that because I saw other guys being released. Like, wow, they got released? Eddie George get released? Randall Godfrey gets released. I mean, goodness gracious. Like, these are guys like were a part of what we have accomplished.
That's when you learn the NFL stands for not for long.
Yeah, that's exactly. And they learn like, yeah, it's a business. And loyalty is as far as you can throw a 300-pounder. That's how far loyalty is or how long loyalty is. So it was a hard lesson for me to learn in 04. But you know, I had to go out and get another team and continue my career. Did I want to stay here? Absolutely, I wanted to stay here. Did they ever offer me an opportunity to take a pay cut at that time? At that particular time, I probably would have redid my deal and took a little less just to stay here because my thing was I can make that money up.
Sure,
it would have been made up. I just wanted to stay here, but. They had other plans, and I get that. And I wasn't bitter. You know, I was upset.
Were you?
No. I wasn't bitter to the point of like I was always bringing up the Titans or was always upset with the Titans. It was I'm upset that I had to leave. You know, I'm disappointed, but I got to keep going. I got to keep playing. This is what I do. I enjoy doing. I still got a lot of great years left. You know, I need to go to my next team and prove to the Titans they shouldn't have released me and prove to my team that just signed me that this was a good sign. And I did both. And I was happy, you know. But then I wanted to come back, and they didn't want me. So there you go.
Yeah, well, I think they wanted you. They just had an idiot at GM at the time.
Yeah, so
couldn't figure things out. So great participation in Ask D-Mace today. Coming up next, we will close out the show how we started it, talking about this clock management situation with Ryan Tannehill. It was talked about today at the press conferences. We'll do that and get you set for Stillman & Company. That's all next. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You said you didn't really know what happened at the end of the first half there with the clock stuff in your comments after the game. After looking at it, what happened there and why is the clock management stuff been a little bit more suspect this year than it's been historically with you at quarterback?
I mean, I wouldn't say that that's the case. Maybe that's your opinion, but we had that situation there. Possibility to, you know, for tackle short of the sticks, run the field goal unit on and be able to kick the field goal with the running clock. We had enough time on the clock that we say we have enough time to get that off. Obviously, we'd like to get the first down and be able to spike it and stop the clock there, but weren't able to execute.
Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill on clock management, something that we've talked about a lot today, and I know that Snowman and Company will continue that conversation coming up in about 10 minutes on their show. A reminder, tomorrow it will be Jared and Derek from 10 until noon, and then we'll have Predators pregame with Max Herz starting at noon as the Predators are in Prague to take on the San Jose Sharks. So you and I have kind of talked all this out, and I like a little bit of the sassiness that Tannehill has. You know, I think that he probably, instead of running for it at the end of the first half, just get rid of the ball, come out, kick the field goal, go into the locker room. They didn't do that. But you've also kind of shifted your view that Vrabel, some of this, a lot of this is on him.
Yeah, because to me, it's why didn't you just take the 3 points? Because the third down play wasn't a play to get the ball into the end zone. So do you not believe in your kicker that he can kick whatever it was? I guess it was about, it would end up being like a 50-something yard field goal, mid-50s. So you figure you needed that one more yard to set your kicker up to kick the field goal. I don't know. But to me, you put your quarterback in a position that he was in, even though, you know, you tell the quarterback, hey, listen, throw the ball away. Whatever you do, don't get tackled. Or don't take a sack. Don't get tackled in the field of play. But you, as a head coach, you got to think, I'm not going to even put my – we're always taught, you know, we're going to put the players in the best position to succeed. Well, you didn't put your team in the best position to succeed because with no timeouts and 19 seconds left, you didn't call a play down the field. You didn't call a play to the end zone. To me, that's the, you know, that's the only way you go. Because even if you complete the ball, you know, Tannehill takes his drop. He scrambles around for about 2 seconds, 3 seconds. You throw the ball 10 yards down the field. The guy catches it. He's not going to catch it and then go down. He's going to try to run out of bounds or do whatever. They're playing for that. They're going to tackle him in space, sit on him for a while. Then I got to get everybody up and everybody off. You still might not even get that play off. You still might not even get it off, you know. So why even take that chance? Just kick the field goal from where it's at and get the 3 points. You're going 27-10 and okay, at least we got some points out of it. But you didn't do that. You were playing and I get it because as a player – I'm on the field. I'm like, yes, let's go. Let's do it. Let's get the ball down the field. But as a coach, that's when you got to sit back and think like, maybe not. Let's just kick this field goal and go in.
Right.
You know, but now all the blame is shifted toward Ryan Tannehill. And it shouldn't be. It starts with the head coach.
Well, and I think some of that is just because he's an easy target. Because one, he's a starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, and two, everything goes back to Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Everything goes back to that game. This year, through four games, I think he's been fine. You know, he's made a couple mistakes here and there, but I don't think he's done anything for them to lose the two games that they lost.
No, it wasn't his fault.
No. I think he's been all right.
He's done enough for you to win these football games that you won, even in the losses. He's in that Giants game, he did enough for you to win that game. Buffalo game was different, but he hasn't went out there and played horribly where you say, well, you cost us that Buffalo game. You know, you cost us the Giants game. No, that hadn't been the case. He hadn't cost them any game, you know. So the blame, but the blame will always, in situations like that, it will always be shifted to a Ryan because of his past.
Of course. Of course.
Know? So, but I mean, but it should be, you know, the problem or the blame should be shifted toward the head coach and not the guy that got tackled in bounds trying to get a first down. They should have just kicked the field goal and went in at halftime up 27-10.
There's always a voice in my head
that's
listening to this conversation right now.
Uh-huh.
So Jared believes that Tannehill was absolutely terrible in the second half on Sunday. Jared, your thoughts?
I mean, he threw for 34 yards and he missed wide receivers consistently open down the field. Vrabel even said it on Monday in this, like, very melancholy tone of, you know, Ryan, he was asked a question about Tannehill not turning the ball over. No. He was asked a question about Tannehill being 4-0 at Indianapolis. And in this melancholy sense, he was like, well, we won the rushing battle and we didn't turn the ball over. And, you know, we had some throws that we could have made in the second half. And so we'll get with Ryan on those and go from there. But we didn't turn the ball over. And Tannehill was, in my opinion, he missed open receiver. He was awful. He was awful in the second half.
I mean, I'll give you that. He did miss some open guys.
Yeah, but that's football. You're going to miss open guys. What we see from an aerial view and what the quarterbacks see the day after from an aerial view is totally different from what he sees at ground level on game day. There's plenty of guys that Tom
You're only
has
saying
missed.
That because Jeff Fisher made you throw in practice one day.
Yeah, but no, but I know how it is. You know, when I'm running an in route and I think I'm open and a quarterback comes back and he's like, my bad, I ain't see you.
Right.
Because he's looking somewhere else first and then he might get to me. You know, so we gotta look at it from this standpoint. We could all go back and watch the film and say, you missed this guy, you missed this guy. Just like on that drive, I thought he missed the corner route that was wide open and he should have threw it, but he had pressure in his face. So there's other variables involved when missing a open receiver.
Yeah.
Maybe that guy wasn't the first or the second in the progression.
Well, that we will let Jared and Adam Vingan, who's in today, continue this conversation. Coming up next is Stillman and Company. We'll take over. That'll do it for us. Jared and Derek are back at it at 10 tomorrow, heading into Preds and Sharks from Prague. But enjoy Stillman and Company. Coming up next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
We out.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.